So in a certain extent, what we're going to do today is going to be a review of all Sefer Bamidbar. And for that matter, it'll be a review of, I guess, from the day the Jews left Egypt. And that's not because of me. That's because of the first couple of words in the parasha. Now, I'm aware, and no one has to tell me, that when it gets to things like lists and so on, these are the boring parts of the Chumash and we're supposed to skip them. I know that. It's sort of like, you know, when you learn Gemara, then you skip the Agadata, which is actually the interesting part, but then you say, oh, it's too complicated, we don't understand it, and therefore we can skip it. So we like to skip these parts. And why do we skip these parts? Because they don't say anything. In biblical criticism, when they have the documentary hypothesis, all the boring parts they decided was part of P, the priestly code. It's like all boring things go together. The lists go together, the travelers go together, the korbanot go together, anything. So P was a very boring writer. I mean, J and E were a little better, but P, totally. I mean, the book reviews came in terrible for P, and that's why he had to put it together with the others, or something to that effect. But there's actually, I think that there's some interesting things that can be mined. We like mined, okay. From the verses, so let's begin. Eile mas'ei b'nei Yisrael. By the way, did that phrase ever appear before? So you know when I ask a question like that, then you say it's like a leading question. So it's either yes or no, it's 50-50. And you know I would mislead you. So did that phrase ever appear before? Yes. You decide yes, it did. Nanishmod. Good. Okay. Eile mas'ei b'nei Yisrael. These are the travels of the children of Israel. Asher yetzu me'eretz Mitzrayim litzvotam, who left the land of Egypt, I guess, in their hosts, b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. Of course, Aaron's no longer here, so they left with Moshe and Aaron. But along the way, you already now realize there may be some foreshadowing. Along the way, we may lose Aaron. So if none of you knew that, so I'm sorry for having mentioned that. I just saw a passage in the Yerushalmi, and it said that it was talking about this time of year in Tisha B'Av and the whole Chorban. So it mentioned that when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would teach about the Chorban, it says that he mentioned a number, like a handful of things about it. And it mentioned that someone else, Rabbi Yochanan, who's a generation and a half, two generations later, would mention many, many more things. So the Gemara asked, did Rabbi Yochanan, who's later, know more than Rebbe? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So it said no. It said that when Rebbe would teach, there were still some survivors in the room. To either survivors or children of survivors, it says there were still, and he would start to talk and they would start to cry, and he couldn't go any further. So such an interesting passage. And it says, but when Yochanan, then it was more academic, so then he can go in far in more detail about it. Continue. Vayichtov Moshe, that's also very interesting. Vayichtov Moshe et motzeihim l'maseim al pi Hashem ve'eil l'maseim l'motzoeihim, which actually means something, that there is a divine statement over here, that we also have something, we have Torah Shebichtav, we have God telling Moshe what it is we're writing, what it is about, what's going on over here. And the travels were al pi Hashem. They travel according to the word of God. So even though you think this is just like a list of travels and itinerary, and like really who cares, so maybe there's much more here. Now, what I did over here, among the various things, was I put little numbers along the way for those of us who have a hard time counting. But Yesu mi Ramses. Now, it's interesting because you didn't have to count Ramses as number one because that's where they start from. But if you want to get up to 42, and we do want to get up to 42, if you want to get up some kind of theology, so there's two things about 42 which are mentioned by those who are interested in such things. One of them is that there is a name of God which is 42, and therefore if this is all dictated by God, so there's something divine over here, so part of the traveling is the revealing of God's name within all of this, and God's name who has 42 letters, therefore every letter is necessary, so in that's the case. There, in retrospect, even though a lot of these things happened, even though we didn't think they were supposed to happen this way, at the end there is the hand of God or the name of God which emerges out of it. That's one of the reasons to get to 42. The other reason to get to 42 is if you counted, then Balak brought 42 offerings not that long ago. because they went to three places and there was 14 or so by each places, and 3 times 14, 42. So therefore, there's some kind of a response of all the negativity brought into the world, and here now something positive needs to be brought in. So that is, if you, again, wanted your Kabbalistic / Hasidic reading on all of this, you have it. And now we'll go to the boring parts. Yeah. Vayisumi Ramses, which means we start counting already when they left and they get to Ramses. Good. B'chodesh harishon, b'chamishasah yom l'chodesh harishon, mimachrat ha-Pesach, which is quite consistent as far as the Chumash goes, we're aware of this, where Pesach is always refers to the offering and the Seder the night before, and the holiday, which is 7 days, is always Chag HaMatzot. So again, they left on the first day, the 15th of the month, first month, mimachrat ha-Pesach, the next day after having brought the Passover offering the night before, Yatzu b'nei Yisrael b'yad ramalei nei kol Mitzrayim, which also emphasizes the miraculous part of it. Egypt sees us and they walk away, and we're up to Pasuk Dalet. U'Mitzrayim mikabrim et asher hikah Hashem bahem kol b'chor. And what were the Egyptians doing? Mikabrim. Again, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, because, as I said before, it's boring. We like to skip this. But what are the Egyptians doing as the Jews are leaving? They're burying the dead. So you remember the Midrash that says, which is also Gemara, that says is that when the spies came to Israel, they saw that there were various funerals taking place, and therefore so that they shouldn't be busy and notice the spies there. So that's actually Pshat in the Chumash, but not regarding the spies. It's actually Pshat in the Chumash over here regarding in Siyat Mitzrayim. The Egyptians are busy burying their dead at the moment that the Jews are all leaving. I don't know if the various movies or that Prince of Egypt that captured this scene, if any of them actually went, you know, that far. But that's what the Chumash says over here. So again, this adds into things that we perhaps didn't think about or weren't aware of before. Uve Elohehem asah Hashem shvatim, and God made judgments regarding their deities. V'yisu b'nei Yisrael mi Ramses v'yachanu b'sukkot. So Sukkot has our superimposed number 2 next to it. And Sukkot is interesting only for one reason, and that is that when Yaakov Avinu makes his travels, Yaakov ends up getting to a place which is called Sukkot. Of course it's a different one. There's no question it's a different one. And not only is there no question it's a different one, it cannot possibly be the same one. No, because that was north. That's already in the land of Israel and over here. But I'm just saying it's interesting just to follow the same things. So there's just a similar name which is given. By the way, that's going to be a challenge that we're going to have today. Part of what I did is I try to use a map and to just look and say, okay, when we read the words, we tend to get one interpretation of what's going on. When we actually follow on the map what's going on, we may get a very different understanding of what's happening. So now, in front of you, let me just see which maps you have. You have a page with these three maps. Of course, mine is in color and yours isn't. Those of you who are on the list that get the sources were sent to you in color. And today I sent you 5 more maps this morning. 5 more maps that you can go back and look again, and they're big, not like these little maps here when you complain that you can't see anything. Now, the 3 maps, yeah, I just didn't want them to start dealing with pages and pages of maps. But let me just tell you what you have in front of you over here. On this page, you have 3 maps. The top map is a map which comes from over here, from the Atlas Dat Mikra, from the side of Rav Kook. This is an atlas which describes all the travels that the Jews made at different points in history. It is a very good reference book to have if you understand Hebrew. The map on the bottom of the page is the one that I had this slight moral and ethical dilemma. Do I include the copyright that says that you're not supposed to copy it, or do you exclude the copyright that says you're not going to use it? So I included the copyright, and I'm going to apologize to them. But
under copyright law, yeah.
I am a professor, so that's very good. Okay. So I copied it, but I brought the book in as well so that you can see it. This is the new Mikrot Gedolo, which is published by Misora, which is Art Scroll. I've been giving a shiur on Shabbat to the women in our neighborhood, actually to some of the women, the more exclusive women in the neighborhood come to that shiur. And a number of years ago, I finally said, listen, we all need the same book. The one thing which is really good about it is that it has nikud, not just in the Chumash, in all of the Mefarshim, it has nikud. And for some people, and it's a very clear typeface, and for some people, just that difference made a difference. The other thing is that it's been really easy teaching, saying, okay, turn to page 452, instead of just... Now, at the back, there's pages and pages and pages of stuff in the back. And one of the things is a map, and it's a map of all of the stops that they made. That's the bottom map over here, which is a little hard for you to see, I would assume. Yes, the numbers are hard for you to see. But if you look on the bottom map on page 4, it says on the bottom towards the left where you have the water, it says Hayam HaGadol. Right next to that, it says Ramses. Okay? So we have Ramses over there. So let's sort of keep that in mind. And we're going to continue reading now and see what happens. Now, reading the Chumash, it says, Vayisu mi Ramses, so now we know on that day, but where did they go? So there we said we went from Ramses to Sukkot. So now we're wondering where Ramses and Sukkot is. Now those of you who remember back, okay, I'm sorry if this is getting too confusing. If we recall back in Parshat Bishalach, what did it say? It said they didn't go, which way? Derech Eretz Plishtim. Now if you look at Ramses, by the Yam HaGadol, you look a little, you just go off the coast, you see Eretz Plishtim. So what's Derech Eretz Plishtim? Walking up the coast, right? That's really easy. Now, so if they're not going to go up the coast, so then what do you do? So what would have been the right way to go if you're not going to go up the coast for whatever reason? You're going to travel towards, well, where? Which exactly where you're going to go? There is a thing there called Nachal Mitzrayim, where the water comes in, so you maybe it's a really good idea to travel near a stream to go downstream along the way. If you're not going to come Derech Eretz Plishtim, then you want to come the other way around. Essentially, go near that Nachal Mitzrayim. You want to get towards the Yam Suf on the other end, which, by the way, is Eilat. And then you're going to come up someplace by Eretz Moav, on the other hand, and then enter in through Yericho. Now, what they do when they leave Ramses is they go to Sukkot. Now, take a look where Sukkot is, if you can. It's that first green thing going from 1 to number 2. They go south. Ramses to Sukkot, they go south. Then, let's continue reading after they get to south. But still, they're going in the wrong direction. They're going in the wrong direction. Continue. So now you were talking about the GPS before, okay? This is a little bit of a detour. But you realize now, it's not just Derech Eretz Plishtim is going north, they're going south, meaning there were other alternatives. I guess the other two were east or west, but I guess there's only really one that would have been a really good one. And what was that? Go east. Let's continue and read what it says in the Chumash. Vayisumi misukot vayachanu be'etam. And they go from Sukkot to Etam. So when they got to Etam, so what's the difference between Sukkot and Etam? If by Etam, they've corrected themselves now. Because by Etam, now they're going in the right direction. So Etam is good because now you just have to go east, keep going east, and then go north. And then you're done. Or go on an angle, go northeast, and then you're also getting back to where you need to get to. Okay, so that's good. Continue now in Pasuk Zion. So we are in Etam, Pasuk Zion now. V'yisumer Etam, v'yashav. You notice that word, v'yashav. What does v'yashav mean? V'yashav means to retreat, to go back. Now suddenly this list is not as boring as it was before, because you realize now something happened. V'yisumer Etam, v'yashav al pi achirut, asher al pnei bal tzafon, v'yachanu lefnei migdol. Which means now they've retreated. Now, if you look at from 3 to number 4, if you can see that, the difference between 3 and 4 is now they're on the wrong side of the water. Now they're trapped. Which means that if they want to escape and they want to go to South Africa, then this would be an excellent plan. You just have a long, long, long way to go. But if you want to go to Israel, you have a problem. What's your problem now? You have water over here. So I just want to say it because maybe you never saw this as clearly before. The first one is wrong. The second one is right. The third one is terribly wrong, completely wrong direction. And now, I don't want to like totally ruin all of this for you, but I just need to point out that there's a purpose in this, and the purpose in this is to drown all the Egyptians. This is a, meaning, if you're the Jewish people, and you're following what's going on, and if you somehow have smuggled a map into all of this, this should be the first mumblings that take place. Moshe, are you out of your mind? What are you doing over here? But there is, we understand in retrospect, because we know that there was actually a splitting of the sea, and we know that the splitting of the sea is how we got rid of all the Egyptians. Now you realize that only happens because they think we've made a huge mistake going in the wrong direction, and now we're stuck because there's no place for us to get out. There's no place to us to get out. Certainly there's no place in terms of our agenda to go towards the land of Israel. So the truth is, it looks like we've gone in the worst possible place. Go back and let's read the Chumash Chet. V'yisumi pi achirut v'yavru b'toch hayam hamidbara. By the way, that, I'm sorry, totally ruined the whole story. Oh yeah, that's where they saw it, of course, the sea. And yeah, we have a holiday because of that, the seventh day of Pesach, yes. That's when we lost all of the Egyptians along the way, but that's just said in passing over here. And again, v'yisumi pi achirut, ויעברו בתוך הים המדברה וילכו דרך שלושת ימים במדבר וילכו דרך שלושת ימים במדבר איתם ויחנו במרה. So now, having crossed the sea, they then travel and they get to place number 5, and that is Marah. Now you notice that they're now a little inland. Being a little inland is now we're going to have a problem of water. And I do want you to keep in mind that, because for most of history, one of the biggest problems of living in the Middle East has always been a problem of water. And if you just look at this map, you actually see a number of water sources along the way. I mean, the Dead Sea is not going to help you much, but there are some water sources along the way, and that may actually be helpful for us. And now if you just think about the water for a second, going from Eitan to Pi Achirot, one thing that they do along the way is that they have access to that water all the way around. So now if you think a second, why was there never any complaint about water from the Yam Suf? There was never complaint. They crossed through the water and now they go, you can't drink the Red Sea? Yeah. By the way, now if you keep in mind, when you go from 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 9 to 10, all of that traveling, which is, by the way, it's again in the wrong direction. It's all in the wrong direction. But if you notice, what are they doing in that all of that traveling? They're staying, they're staying near the water the whole time as they're going down. But if you wanted to go in a quicker way, of course, you just could have gone either north or you could have gone east, and they are going south along this way. Marah was the first time that they have a problem with water. Let's take a look and read the pasuk. Vayasumi marah vayavo elima uve elim shnei misrei einot mayim vishivim tamarim vechanu sham. So this is exactly what Naomi was referring to before, is that as they go from marah to elim and so on along this way, is that there are all kinds of streams over here. And those streams are the ones which are providing them with water along the way. So I'm going to say it again, is that as you travel in the Middle East, especially going near a desert, if you find water sources, then you are doing well. And that's so far looking at the two we see. Yeah. Now, they're going the wrong way in terms of direction that they're supposed to be going. I know. I'm saying in terms of, I'll say it again. They're supposed to be going, first, Derech Eretz Plishtim, that's going north. So we're not going to go north, so we can go all the way around. So I wouldn't have thought, if you don't go north, I'll go, as I said, east and then north. But I wouldn't have thought that I go south. And I just want you to notice along the way, they keep doing this. This is going to repeat itself more times than you imagine. So just hold on a second, and let's continue. Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'yesu me'yam suf v'yachanu b'midbar sin. So that was number 8. Now, the only thing I want you to note is that it's called Midbar Sin, but, you know, they're at the edge of a huge desert. V'yisumi b'rasin v'yachanu b'dafka. V'yisumi dafka v'yachanu b'alush. V'yisumi alush v'yachanu b'ridifim. Now, what's the difference of ridifim about all the other places that they've been? Rifid, sorry. Again, let's read again. V'yachanu b'rifidim. So what's different about rifidim from all the other places? Now, first of all, it says in the Chumash, v'lo hayoshamayim la'am l'shtot. By rifidim, there was no water. Now, what else do you notice on the map happens by rifidim? And I do have to say one more thing now. I did prepare by looking in multiple maps. more than you can imagine, and the maps generally don't agree on all kinds of details. We're going to see to what extreme in a little bit, but it does imagine that Rephidim is inland a bit more, what we're told, what happens here. They can't find water over here. This is when, again, they complain about water, and this is where Moshe ends up being told to hit the rock, and Moshe hits the rock over here. But something else happens at this place. In this map that I'm looking at, there's a sign that says Milchama, which is that whole dust, I guess, whatever that is. It's a pow. Okay, so that's where Amalek comes to attack them. Now, Amalek had to come from Eretz Edom. As the Jews are traveling, going south and going further south, they get word about this, and they travel from Eretz Edom south, and they meet up with them by Rephidim. As I said, that is Milchemet Amalek. From Rephidim, where do they go next? Vayesum Rephidim, Vayachanu Bamidbar Sinai. It's called Midbar Sinai. So you notice the one before was called Midbar Sin, and this is Midbar Sinai, and you have to wonder what the relationship is. But by Midbar Sinai, which is stop number 12, this is the place that the Torah was given. This was the place that they had the Chet HaEgel. This is the place that they built the Mishkan, and this is the place they end up spending the whole first year, and that's by number 12. So this is where we sit until, so let's, those of you who are concerned what happens next. V'yisu'u mimidbar Sinai v'yichanu b'kivrot ha-ta'ava. So that's going up from 12 to 13. Notice again that they're still somewhat inland. They could have gone down to the Yam Suf, again, gone up with the water, but they don't. They go up a kivrot, which is sitting really in the middle of the desert. But there is one huge advantage to what they just now did. And what is it, finally? They're finally going north. Which means here, going from Sinai, where we're supposed to be going, straight to Eretz Yisrael. So now you notice the trip from Midbar Sinai to Kivrot HaTa'ava, this is the first time that they're actually going in the proper direction, and they covered a nice amount of ground, and they are going along the way. But what, of course, happens by Kivrot HaTa'ava? What happens there? Over here is they wanted meat. And over here is where they complain. And over here, did anything else happen here? Okay, we'll see. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayisu mikvorta ta'ava v'yachanu b'chatzerot. And they park in Chatzerot. And what happened in Chatzerot? We'll see soon. Vayisu mikhatzerot v'yachanu b'ritma. And Pasuk Yud Chet is they have their 15th stop and they get to Ritma. Now, according to our map, Ritma is even further north, which means we're going in the right direction. We get all the way up to Ritma, which is as far north as we get. It's as far north. Do you see where that is? It's called 15, and it's also called, according to this map, 33. And we'll see why in a moment. Let's pause for a moment, and let's look in Rashi. Eilamase, source 2. Lama nichtavu ha-masa'ot halalu. Why are we being told about these masa'ot? Lodiyah chasdo shel makom. That even though that it was decreed that they were going to wander around in the desert, don't think that the whole 40 years they were wandering around, by the way, we haven't got up to the 40 years yet, we're still in the first year or the first year and a half or so, the lo ita lahem minucha, and they never had any rest, shara'in kan ela arba'im u'shtayim masa'ot, there's only 42 travelings altogether, tseimehem yudalit shekulam yu b'shana rishona, subtract 14, which were all in the first year, what are we left with? 42 minus 14, what are we left with? 28. Kodem gzeira, mishenasumi ramses ad shabu l'ritma, shemisham nishtalchu miraglim. So now let us consider again our stop number 15, which is Ritma. If he goes from here, that is where they sent the spies. Rashi continues, shenema v'achad as v'acher nasu ha'am michatzerot. So let's pause for a second again and see what it is that he's referring to. It's Bamidbar Perek Yudbet. So look at source number 4 now. Ger Miriam michutz l'machane shivat yamim. Why? What happened? She spoke about Moshe. Va'am lo nasa ad ha'asef Miriam. And they waited for 7 days. Where are they when they waited? Givat ta'ava. Because that happened immediately afterwards. Va'achar nasu ha'am mechatserot v'chanu b'midbar paran. And they go to a place called Midbar Paran. So they go from Chatzerot to Midbar Paran. Now, in our list today, where was this travel described as, or how was it described as going from Chatzerot to where? To Ritma. Here it says they went from Chatzerot to Ritma. Here it says they went from Chatzerot to Midbar Paran. Going back to Rashi, Shenem avachar nusu am michatzerot. Shlach lecha anashim, v'kanu omer v'yisum michatzerot v'chanu b'ritma. And here he's quoting our pasuk, lamadata shehi b'midbar paran. So he's saying, therefore, the location of Ritma must be the same as the place called Midbar Paran. V'od hotzi sham shmona masaot sheyu la'achar mitat aron mehar hahar ad arvot moav. So Rashi, again, what's Rashi's main point of telling you that the 42 travelings didn't all happen at once? He already subtracted 14, and now he's going to say that 8 of them are really going to be short trips right after Aaron dies. We'll take a look at those soon. Bishnata Arba'im, and Aaron doesn't die until the 40th year. So by the way, you'll notice that we're now getting way ahead of ourselves, because last thing we saw was the Meraglim. Now, to try to avoid completely confusing everybody over here, Rashi just now told me that there is one place, and that place is Ritma Midbar Paran, which, by the way, all of us who are thinking then can say, well, maybe the larger area is called the Midbar Paran, and the specific location or locale is called Ritma. Now take a look at the Bechor Shor. Bechor Shor is source number 3. It is on Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Vav. Now, what is Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Vav? It's source number 9. So let's first read 9, and then we'll go back to the Bechor Shor. V'yishlach ota Moshe. So what is this talking about? The Meraglim. V'yishlach ota Moshe mim midbar paran. So does that fit into what we know? Yeah, because why they traveled from Chatzerot to either Ritma or Midbar Paran, depending. Real time it was called Midbar Paran. In retrospect, it was called Ritma. One second. Al pi Hashem, kulam anashim Moshe b'nei Yisrael haima, v'yalu v'yatru et ha'aretz midbar, mi midbar tzin. They went from Midbar Tzin. So that's just to confuse us completely. We now have a Midbar Paran and a Midbar Tzin. They went from Midbar Paran and they go from Midbar Tzin. So we have to question what's the relationship of those two places. V'yalu b'negev. And where do they travel? They come up the Negev, which, by the way, once you start thinking, what are they doing? They're going due north. That's what it sounds like. Skipping now to Pasuk Kafheva Yeshuv Mitor Tarzketar Bim Yom, 40 days later they come back. Pasuk Kavav Yechuv Yavu Moshe Velaron Velkolat Abnei Yisrael El Midbar Paran Kadesha. Where do they come back to? To a place called Midbar Paran, which is Kadesh. So now we realize that the place that we've been calling, how many names do we have so far? Ritma, Midbar Paran, and Kadesh at this point. And now look at the Bechor Shor. El Midbar Paran Kadesha, so that's the pasuk he's referring to. Midbar Paran, Umidbar Tzin, V'chatzerot, V'kadesh, V'ritma, Smuchim Zelazeh. So he's being a little bit more careful, and what he's saying is that all of these places really is one area. Smuchim, they're close to one another. Hachaktiv, because it says here, V'achar Nas'u Ha'am, Michatzerot, V'chanu B'midbar Paran. Right, that we saw. V'hu Ritma. And this is the same place called Ritma. Why? Kidemu Farash be'elamase. U'be'elamase k'tiv, right there it says, v'yisum e'chatzirot v'chanu b'mitma. U'be'elamase k'tiv, v'yisum e'etzion gaver v'chanu b'midbar tzin. Now hold it. Where do we get, what's the etzion gaver, what's midbar tzin, and he kadesh? So we're missing something, and we need to figure out what it is that we're missing. After the Chet HaMeraglim, let's take a look at source number 10. This is Perek Yudalev. This is post-Chet Meraglim. It says, "Vavdi kaleg ekev haita ruach acheret imo v'yemale acharai v'yivotav el aretz asher b'shama v'zaro yirusha." So Kalev was going to get the reward. V'amalekiva k'nani yoshev ba'emek machar pinu usu'u lachem hamidbar derech yamsuf. So what do we need to do now? Now we need to turn and to go derech yamsuf. By the way, just in case you're wondering, I wrote there Dvarim Aleph Mem, which is source number 16 as well. You have the exact same description over there. In source number 16, when it discusses this Pasuk Mem, V'atem pnu lachem usu'am midbara derech yamsuf. Now, if we go back to our map now and say, okay, so what exactly took place, where are they in our map? They're by a place which is called number 15. And where do they go from 15? We're told they go derech yamsuf. Well, where in the world is yamsuf? Yamsuf is all the way south, which means that if you want to understand the punishment, yes, they're told they're going to wander. What's the initial punishment in terms of the wandering? Now go right back to from where you came from, which means they had made progress going from Chatzerot north, and now they're being told and they're being sent back south. Now again, at your map, they're in the middle. You have 16 to 32, which, as just like the Bechor Shor said a moment ago, we don't know where anything is. Okay, here we definitely don't know where anything is. This is all the wanderings that, this is the wanderings over the 38 years. Over the 38 years, you have 16 to 32, and it's apparently all in this area, but before I get to the 16 to 32, there was one very important thing, and that was the initial, before we get to all the Masot and everything we're told back in our parsha, we'll read in a second, what we just now told in the Chumash itself, now go back south, which means, do you realize how frustrating it is when you go backwards and you go back to the exact same place? This is going all the way back to, you're not going all the way back to Ramses, but this was the only time they ever made progress. This is the only time they ever went north. So after having sent the Meraglim, so what are they being told? Okay, now go right back to where you were before. And I want you to all appreciate that this could be something which can be incredibly demoralizing, which may very well have been the exact plan. So where are we up to in terms of source number one? They are by Ritma, and then Yutet, Vyasumi Ritma Vyachanubi Rimon Paretz, Vyasumi Rimon Paretz Vyachanubi Livna, Vyasumi Livna Vyachanubi Risa, Vyachanubi Risa Vyachanubi Kalata, Vyasumi Kalata Vyabahar Shafer, Vyasumi Arshafer Bacharada, Vyasumi Rachada Vyubi Makela, Vyubi Tachad, and so on, Viterach, Vyasumi Terach Vyubimitka, V'yisumi mitka v'yachanu b'chashmona, which is the 26th, not the 25th, as everyone thinks. V'yisumi chashmona v'yachanu b'moserot. V'yisumi v'yachanu b'nei'akan. V'yisumi b'nei'akan v'yachanu b'chor ha'gidgad. V'yisumi ha'gidgad v'yachanu b'yatvata. V'yisumi b'yatvata v'yachanu b'avrona. V'yisumi b'avrona. I know a lot of you are going to think you don't have to go to shul on Shabbos. V'yachanu b'etzion gaver. And they get to Etzion gaver. So now the question exactly is where Etzion Gaver is. V'yisume Etzion Gaver v'yichanu b'miratzin hukadesh. So I do want to stress where Etzion Gaver is. Etzion Gaver is a place that all of you know, you just don't know that's what it's called, because when they advertise for it today, that's not what they call it. Etzion Gaver is Eilat. Where is it over here? It's the top of the Yam Suf. That would be Etzion Gaver. That would be, show you a pasuk which may be helpful. Take a look at source number 12. This is a pasuk in Sefer Malachim dealing with Shlomo. Ve'la Shlomo shalosh pamim b'shana olot u'shlamim ha'mazbeach asher bana Hashem v'aktir ito asher lefnei Hashem v'shilim et habayit. So Shlomo Melech, he builds the Beit HaMikdash. What's the first word in pasuk Kavav? What is that? Va'ani. From the word boats. Va'ani asa hamelech Shlomo be'etzion gever. Asher et elot. Al svat yam suf be'eretz edom. Okay? Was that helpful?
No.
Yes, that was very helpful. Shlomo, it's a port. Shlomo builds, he builds the Beit HaMikdash and he builds boats. I just want you to see that contrast. He builds the Beit HaMikdash, he brings the offerings, and he builds boats. And where are the boats? Where's the port of Shlomo? The port of Shlomo is in Eilat. So Shlomo is the one who then makes use of a port in Eilat. He builds boats over there, but we learn something else. It's called here Etzion Gever. So Etzion Gever, we now understand, so is Eilat. So remember what it said right after the Chet Hamaraglim? It says, now you go back, turn and go towards Yamsuf. So all of those stops I just now read along the way, all of them are taking us to Etzion Gever. So where are they taking us to? They're taking us to Eilat. So if you need to look at the map again, we went from Chatzerot, we go from Midbar Sinai to Chatzerot, right, from Midbar Sinai, Kivrot Ta'ava, Chatzerot, we go up to Kadesh Barnea. Then we start to go back down, which is why you see, you know, this, and we wander. But those wanderings all have very specific direction that we're going in. And again, if you were to ask me based on these psukim, what I would say is that we're told now we're going back down south. It's not just we're wandering. We're going, there's a direction we're going to, because it says, go to Yam Suf. It says that. So we're going to Yam Suf, all of those stops along the way till Etzion Gever are all taking us back one after the other. You know what it is, we're going back, but now we're dragging our feet, and now we're going a little bit slower, and we stop by one place, and we stop by another place, stop by another place, but we're going someplace. And again, I'm going to say this again, how is it that I know where we're going? Because that's exactly what the Chumash said. It said, now turn around, and you're going to go back towards, again, the words were quite clear, or no? You want to see it again after the Chet of the Meraglim. It was source number 10. Machar panu. Now you realize what does the word panu mean now? Turn around. Source number 10. In the middle of Pasuk Kaf Hei. Machar panu. Tomorrow, turn around. Usu'u lechem ha-midbar derech yamsuf. And which way are you now going now? Now you're traveling south. But where? Towards Derech Yamsuf. When do they end up by Derech Yamsuf? When they get where? Okay, good. They get to Eilat. But what was Eilat called when we go back to our traveling? When we get back to our... They didn't have the hotels yet? Are you kidding me? So where are we? We are in Pasuk Lamed Hay, Vayesu me Avrona, Vayachanu be Etzion Gaver. And that's stop number 32. Vayesu me Etzion Gaver, Vayachanu be Midbar Tzin, he Kadesh. So then we go directly from Etzion Gaver to Kadesh. Where do they just now travel to? Okay. And by the way, that's the way that I'm reading it. That they go back. There are those who say that no, Kadesh and this, these are two different places. But I want you to understand what just now happened. They travel and get to the place that they're going to now poise to enter the land of Israel, and now they wander for 38 years going south. Right, they're going to, until they get to the sea. And once they get there, that was the destination. They're supposed to be near the sea, which, by the way, it means that they spend probably, I don't know, I can't tell you how long they spent in each place. But it seems to me that they were told that's where you're going. So I would claim that they met all these stops, and all those stops were just to get to the sea. And they spent most of the time in Eilat. There was a Jewish community in Eilat for 37 years, if you want. Right? They spend all this time in Eilat. On the beach. Dahab. Right? Way low. This is where they are. They're down there. And then they're told, now go, and the next travel is, again, it sounds like, you know, when we're reading these things, the whole list, didn't it sound like really simple? But we didn't realize when they're going north and when they're going south. And what does it then say? Then they go, V'echanu b'midbar tzin, hi kadesh. Now, midbar tzin, kadesh, hold it. We heard these places before, right? And where that means, what has now happened? They've gotten back to the same place. So if you look at, again, at your map, again, with the numbers, so you look at 15 and 33 are called the same place. It's called Kadesh Barnea, it's called Ritma, it's called Midbar Tzin, and it's called Midbar Paran. Now, why is it called all of those things? I don't know. Maybe it does go back to mountain ranges dividing between one side and the other, and one, and therefore one desert on one side, another desert on the other side. But they get over here to, and I'm going to say it again, precise locations of all of these things are difficult. And then in Pasuk Lamed Vav, it says, V'yisumi etzion gaver, v'yichanu b'martzin hi kadesh, sorry, Lamed Zayin, v'yisumi kadesh, v'yichanu b'har ha'har b'ketza eretz edom. So what just now happened between Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin? Between Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin. What happened between those two? Why did they go to Har Ha'har? That's where Aaron. So what happened by Kadesh then? And it's called Kadesh then. That is where the people complain about the water, and Moshe hits the rock, and then Moshe gets his death decree, and Aaron gets his death decree, and going to Har Ha'har is where they're going to go and bury. So I'm pointing out that maybe we never realized this before, but according to the way that we're understanding it, sending the Meraglim, where all of the people get a decree that they're going to die, and Moshe hitting the rock is in the same place. And both times they're paused, again, at the place to go up to the land of Israel. But what happens afterwards? They go to Har Ha'har. Now, where's that? Now, this is also subject to all kinds of argument and discussion. According to this map, Har Ha'har is where? It's south of Chatzarot, which means that what just now happened again. They went south again. Now, the question is, why are we understanding it this way? I mean, that they've gone in this direction. So let's continue, and hopefully we will see. Look at source number 5, the Chizkuni, which is by our Psukim. Vayesumi mibar Sinai, ad v'yachunu b'ramu furash b'parsha palotcha, sharei ritma uparan v'kadesh barnea echad heim, shemisham nishtachu umuraglim. All of these places are one place. Vayesumi miritma, who shener parsha shalach, right? So he connects it with shalach. And then v'yachanu b'midbar, the end. Okay, no. Fine, we'll read the whole pasuk yotet. V'yisumi ritma, hu shenemar parshat shalach machar panu v'su'ulachem ha-midbar, v'hu shenemar parshat dvarim v'nefen v'nasa ha-midbar derech yam suf shemisham v'eilach hayu sovevim et har si'ir derech kol ha-mekomot ha-ktuvim kan ad v'yichanu b'midbar tzin hu kadesh hu shenemar parshat chukat v'yivo b'nei Yisrael kol eda el midbar tzin. And that's exactly when they start to complain about the water. And that's when, again, so we've been going north, going south. So I just want to say this again. We got to the Yam Suf. We go north, Chatzerot. We get to Kadesh, Ritma, whatever you want to call it. We go down. We go up again, and we go down again. And a matter of fact, it actually says, it makes reference to the Yam in another place. So let's take a look in Source 11. V'yasu mehar ha'har, wherever that is, there are those who will claim that that's Petra. But I don't care right now, because this pasuk is far more intriguing. V'yasumi harahar derech yam suf lisvo v'teretz Edom. What just now happened now? After we bury Aaron, what now has happened? We go south. We get to the same place. This is a third time. Yes? V'yasumi harahar. Kadesh B'nai is the same place. But it's more. But it's more than that. That's what I want you to see, the way it's described here. V'yasumi har ha'har derech yam suf. That's the point, is that yam suf was just now mentioned for the third time. Again, exactly. But look where they are. That's exactly the point. That's what I'm saying. This is the third time that they're in Eilat. They're in Eilat, they go up, they go back to Eilat, they're sent back down, and that's included the wandering. They go back to the same place, and this is where Moshe Aaron get punished, and then they come back down again, bury Aaron, and now they have to go around. So that's exactly the point, the implication of going around. I could have understood going the round was all kinds of places, but how is the going around described over here as Derech Yam Suf? So because it's described as Derech Yam Suf, so I'll say it again. So we've gone north, we've gone south, we've gone north, we've gone south, we've gone north, we've gone south. This is the third time. And I'm going to make this stronger now. Now you're going to understand a pasuk that maybe we always thought the people were being a little silly. Back in Source 11, Perikuf Aleph, when is this? After Aaron is dead. V'yasume harahar derech yamsuf. So that means they're going south again in order to go around. L'svov et eretz Edom, to go around the land of Edom. But along the way here, what has happened? They've gone south again. Vatikzer nefesh ha'am b'derech, and the people go crazy now. Why are they going crazy? This is the third time that which means whenever we've read this pasuk, it's always okay. They're going a little bit out of the way. It's not just they're going a little bit out of the way. We're not getting anywhere, right? We're not getting anywhere. They're saying, Moshe, you would make a great cab driver, right? We're not getting anywhere. But it's not. It's worse than not getting anywhere. It's every time we're poised to get close, we then regress and we go in the wrong direction. And again, if you don't realize the extreme north-south traveling which is taking place over here, you don't understand. This, by the way, do you now have all a little bit more sympathy for them over here? Vatikatzer nefesh ha'am b'derech. What does it say? The people, by the way, I think that was the exact intention. That's the exact intention. And Vedebera am be'elokim uva Moshe lami l'tonim mitzrayim l'mut b'amidbar. But by the way, is that complaint a little bit more reasonable now than any time you've ever seen it before? What are you doing to us? Ki ein lechem ve'ein mayim v'ashenin katzer b'lechem ha'kokav. Because they've come to this realization that we're yo-yos. We're going up, we're going down, we're going up, we're going down. We're not getting anywhere. V'yishlach Hashem ba'amet nechashim. Right? That's the context of the Hashem come. And what are the people? V'yomer chatanu ki dibarnu ba'ashem. Ubach hitpalel el Hashem. V'yisimer lo natanachash hitpalel Hashem. Which means things are a little different because they actually, okay, we're wrong. But you do understand their frustration. There's one thing about traveling around. There's one thing about, you know, I know this is where it comes from. This is what you're saying. What you're saying is, where does it come from that Jews travel south in the winter, right? This is where it comes from. Right. They all go, right, this is where it comes from. We have to go south. The winter's here. We have to go down. We have to go to Miami. Okay, so this is, we're all going down to Eilat. But if it worked out with the calendar and so on, I'm just saying that when we read this whole list, it's boring. And then you start to understand what's going on, and you realize, I understand their frustration. There's 2 points here. There's only 2 points I wanted to make today. Maybe one third, and then we'll stop. 2 points I wanted to make is that the two terrible things that happen, the sin of the Meraglim, and Moshe hitting the rock, both of them happen in the same place. Okay, that I don't think that any of us noticed before. There's many, many more verses that I brought over here on these pages that back this up, but that's one point. No, Miriam is before, because then they travel from there to the place. What I collected on all these other sources is basically all the other evidence. Every other time that it's referred to, you know, what you did by Kadesh Barnea and how you sinned by Kadesh, which means how Moshe sins and the spies, which means these are, as far as I can tell, the same places. Not everybody agrees with that point, but I think that that's what emerges from there. The other thing that I wanted to show is that we get to Eilat 3 times. Now, for some of you, 3 times to go to Eilat, that's not bad. I don't know. Have we been to Eilat 3 times in 40 years? I don't think so. But every time they get to Eilat, except for the first time, because the first time they get there, they're traveling north, and that's great. But then they go north, where the sin of the spies, and they come back south. Then they all the traveling there, all of those little things were to get there, because that's where we're told where they were sent to go. Once they get there, then they go without any stop. Go directly back to the same place, Kadesh Barnea, and that's where Moshe ends up hitting the rock. And then what happens? And then they end up coming back, bearing Aaron. But again, bearing Aaron, you can tell me it's east, west. I don't care right now. But then afterwards, we're told, okay, now we have to bypass Edom. And it again says that they come by the water. So that's already the third time that they're coming back to the same place. And that's the point we see them breaking down with frustration, which I think is a little bit more understandable. There's one more pasuk that I wanted to read for today. Yes. Correct. If you look at the map, therefore it says 13, 33 and 15, or 15 and 33, or called Kadesh Barnea and Ritma. Correct, which is the same place. So then again we go south. At that point we start to go east, and then we're going to go north again, and we're going to go around. And what's really not on the map is we go around Eretz Edom, we go around Eretz Moav, and what we're really going through, as far as I can tell, is we're going up through Midian. Is the way that they're traveling up. They're passing by Midian in order to go up, and that's how they're going to bypass and eventually go into the land of Israel. So I just want to point out one more pasuk, and then we will stop for today, and that is source number 17. Remember I asked you if the pasuk ever is any other pasuk like this? Yeah. Where is that? That's when they make the first traveling, when they leave Har Sinai. This is back in Bamidbar Perek Yud. They leave Har Sinai, and it says, okay, here's the traveling. And what happens right then? Why don't you come with us? And he goes, no, I don't want to go. I'm going back to where I'm from. You know how we're supposed to be going. Actually, I think it's quite ironic because they end up going the same way where he ends up going back. But, and by the way, Moshe knew that path as well. How do I know that Moshe knew that path as well? That's the same path that Moshe... And that's also what's ironic. When Moshe runs away, he goes to Eretz Midian. When Moshe runs away and he goes to Eretz Midian, and when he meets Yitro or Bat Yitro, whichever is more important for you, when Moshe runs away, he ends up taking the same path that the Jews will end up taking, oh, by the way, without all of the stops along the way in the north and the south and whatever, but that's the way that we end up going. So it's interesting that over here, had Yitro stayed with us and many, many other things been different, had there not been the sin by the Ta'ava, which is, by the way, immediately after this, had there not been the sin of Miriam, had there not been the sin of the spies, had there not been the, meaning, had all this not happened, then Perek Yud, Pasuk Kofchet, Eilam Aseh B'nei Yisrael, could have been a very different description, and that's part of what I thought was very ironic, is that here's the way they traveled, and now here's the way they ended up traveling, which means this Eilah, there's this whole discussion when you have the word Eilah, what does it do to the former ones? Okay, Ayla, this is the way they ended up traveling. But you now realize that all of these things, again, are connected. So my point was today was very, very simple, was to take the most boring part that I possibly could imagine in the Parsha and to show you that I think that the boring part really can be fascinating if you realize what's really taking place as this is happening. And, you know, traveling when it's real people, you know, when you actually travel, it's not as boring as when you just read the itinerary. Itineraries are boring, but the actual traveling is different. Actually, probably Moshe bought some property there and he built a hotel, which is why he keeps bringing them back over there. Yeah, he keeps taking them back to the same hotel. He had a restaurant over there on the side. Some of these maps do deal with ancient highways, where the Derech HaMelech is and the ways that these were, and that's really the top map over there.